Welcome to Financial Freedom God's Way Radio. This is where you are going to learn to identify, apply, and pass on Bible-based financial principles and applications so that you and your family will not only just survive, but thrive even during these very uncertain times. Hi, and welcome again, everyone. This is Bob Lauder from Christian Financial Ministries. It is an absolute honor to have you with us again. It really is. Now, what's going to be in our schedule for our next 30-minute time together? Well, I know that you know that God's Word is important. It is important to you, and it is important to others. But the question has to come, what others? What others are we talking about? Last week, the Lord shared with us how we can share with our singles in our church and in our community. This week, He is going to talk with us a bit about sharing with our children. And then, let me ask you, do you have a heart to support our local law enforcement agencies? Today, you are going to discover one very specific way you can help support one very specific law enforcement agency right here in our mountain community. You are definitely not going to want to miss this. So stay tuned, won't you? It's going to be another great time together with the Lord. You are going to want to catch every single minute. Now, let's start by making sure that the Lord is the one that's driving this time together. Let's open with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for meeting with us and teaching us and challenging us again today. Will you please give us ears to hear and the faith to practice all that you have planned to share with us today to your glory in Jesus' name? Amen. As we kick off our radio seminar time together today, recall that God gives you His Word for two really good reasons. Do you recall what they are? Well, first, He expects you to get what He has to say to you up and operating in your life. You see, you are to look for and make some personal applications. And then secondly, you are to allow His Word to flow through you to be a blessing to others. Now, who are the others He expects us to share with? Well, how about the three most underserved folks within the body of Christ and in our local communities? How about learning how to share with our singles and children and our seniors? Last week, we talked about sharing with our singles. This week, and for the next couple of weeks, we're going to see what the Lord has to tell us about sharing with our children. Children within the body of Christ, and children, other children within our mountain communities. To include, by the way, to include your children and even your grandchildren. Now, I have to tell you, one of the difficulties with our children, with all of our children, with all of our grandchildren, is that they are walking, talking little tape recorders of their parents and grandparents. I mean, do you know what I'm saying here? Do you know the one thing that really aggravated me the most about my own children and grandchildren? Well, it happened to be the number of my bad habits that they picked up. I'm telling you that these little people are not so little people. They are walking, talking little tape recorders. Are they or are they not? They pay attention. Now, let me take just a minute and share with you a true story, okay? A true story that proves this point. When our family, when we were still living out in California before we moved to Atlanta and then up to the mountains, my wife Debbie, was part of a women's group that was called Community Bible Study, or CBS. Now, CBS is a dynamic ministry for ladies. It really is. And also, they have a dynamic ministry for children. Now, our son Brooks at the time, well, I guess he was about 4 or 5 years old at the time. And what would happen was that when Debbie was working with her CBS ladies group, Brooks was part of a CBS children's group, okay? Now I don't know if you're like me, but don't you wonder sometimes? I mean, you just have to wonder whether or not children in those church children's programs really get anything out of those children's programs. Do they get anything out of it? Or are they just in a really, really good set of childcare circumstances? You know, a great babysitting program. Got to wonder sometimes. Well, at that time, the CBS Ladies Group, well, they would work with the children. They would work with Brooks. And what they did was to help Brooks and all of the rest of the kids read through and hear the Bible stories about King Saul and King David and being anointed with oil and all of the rest. That is what our 4- and 5-year-olds were studying. Now hold on to that thought for just a second, okay? Because you see, back in the early ministry years of Christian Financial Ministries back out in California working with Larry Burkett, when it came about Wednesday or Thursday, before I was set to travel and lead a seminar on Friday and Saturday, well, about Wednesday, I would start to get sick. And it was spiritual warfare, pure and simple. Now, I remember one time I was getting ready to go out, and most generally what would happen is that I would start to lose my voice for absolutely no reason. And I remember one week I had lost my voice, but decided that I would go ahead and show up at the seminar anyway, even though I couldn't speak a word, much less get up on the stage and present a seminar. It just was not going to happen. And I'm thinking something like, well, okay, Lord, this is your deal. It's not my deal. It's your deal. You're going to have to take care of this. There's nothing I can do about it. So I went ahead and drove to the seminar. And when I got there, the pastor looked at me and he said, Bob, you can't even talk. How in the world are you going to do this seminar this weekend? And I muttered out, God's going to take care of it. So it came time to introduce me. And he asked me, listen, are you sure you want to do this? You can't even talk. And I said, God's going to take care of it. Well, he got onto the stage and he introduced me. And I came up and said, hi, I'm glad to be here. And within 10 seconds, my voice was perfectly clear. It was spiritual warfare, plain and simple. Now I know that seems like kind of a rabbit trail, but I think it pointed out a good picture for you. Spiritual warfare can get into the way of doing God's work. Now, one Wednesday before getting ready to do a seminar on the weekend, I started to get sick again. And again, I started to lose my voice. And what happened was that I called up the church and I asked a couple of our elders and deacons to come over to my house to please come over and pray for me and anoint me with oil so I could conduct the seminar. So Wednesday evening, the guys came over to do just that. Now we were all in our living room, okay? And Brooks and Debbie, well, they were out in the corner of the kitchen watching what was going on. They were watching. They were listening. And after that prayer and after that anointing time was over, everyone left. And the last guy out the door was a guy by the name of Wayman Wooten, marvelous saint in the Lord, now gone on to be with the Lord. He was a mentor, a friend, and he was a member of our board of directors. He was a marvelous guy in the Lord. And he was about 6'6". He was one tall dude. And he loved our little 4-year-old, 5-year-old Brooks. And Brooks loved Wayman. As a matter of fact, Wayman used to love to stand over Brooks real close to him, you know, stand real close to him and look down on Brooks. And little bitty Brooks would stand real close and look up at Wayman. Well, that evening, Wayman and I were talking at the door, and little Brooks, well, he ran over and he pulled on Wayman's leg pants, and he said, Mr. Wooten, Mr. Wooten? And Wayman looked down and said, yes, Brooks, what is it? And Brooks stretched, and he looked up, and he said, Mr. Wooten, Mr. Wooten? Yes, Brooks. He said, Mr. Wooten, you anointed my daddy with oil. And Wayman said, yes, Brooks, we did. And Brooks looked over at his mom, and he looked up over at me, and then he looked back up at Wayman and said, Mr. Wooten, Mr. Wooten. And Wayman looked down and said, yes. Mr. Wooten, is my daddy going to be the next king of Israel? Gee, I honest to goodness, that's a true story. True story. You see the point? These little people pick up on a whole lot more than we realize, particularly, especially when it comes to picking up on what they hear adults say and what they see adults do. Remember, it is caught as much as it is taught. Now, what does that mean? Well, it means that you and I need to be careful how we live before our children. Now, the Lord is about to give us some ideas about how to work with our children, specific ideas. But before he leads us there, let's first consider some of the current conditions that most of our children live in this country today, in our community today. And by the way, these conditions apply to both Christian and pre-Christian children, whatever their ages, okay? Conditions that our children find themselves in today. I'm going to share with you four of them. Here's the first. Half of their parents are going to end up getting divorced. Remember, the data shows us that better than half of all marriages are going to end in divorce. And what does that mean? Well, it means that better than half the time, our children are going to be the products of a broken home. Condition number two, 80% of parents are in debt. Now, this is to say that on a month-by-month basis, most parents have a hard time paying their bills. And what that means for many families is that both of the parents are going to have to work. And therefore, these parents are going to be forced to leave their children to be raised by other family members or daycare centers or maybe even left to fend for themselves. Which leads to condition number three. Most parents today get into financial difficulties because they are untrained. They are untrained in some of the very basic life, living, financial principles and applications, which leads us right into the fourth and final condition, which is that parents instruct by example, whether good or not so good. You know, it's been, oh, this is good. Listen. It has been said that you as a parent tend to teach what you know, but you reproduce who you are. Man, that's good enough to say it again. Listen. You as a parent tend to teach what you know, but you reproduce who you are. And what does that mean? Well, it means that if you as a parent, if you lack discipline, your children are going to grow to tend to lack discipline. Listen, it means that if you have a tendency to overspend, your children are going to grow up and likely become overspenders. It is a fact. Children often become what their parents already are. Now, given all of these conditions, what are some overall things you and I can do to help out the children within the body of Christ today and within our community today to include your own children and grandchildren? What are some of the things that you can do? I'm going to share with you some ideas. For example, first of all, you can set some goals that you would like your children to reach. Now, that would be important, wouldn't it? And one of the top goals you ought to have is to have your children be able to trust God in all of the areas of their life, including the financial areas of their life. Now I got to tell you from experience, fortunately, some children are going to learn this far easier than you did. in addition, one measure of how well they learn is whether or not they can joyfully give over to God part of whatever it is they earn or have been given. If you want your children to trust God financially, you have to give them the chance to learn to trust God financially. And this means that as they get older, you must give them both chances to succeed and chances for them to fail financially and otherwise. Okay, you got to do it while they're under your roof and you can afford some type of protection. You see, you must learn to discipline yourself not to buffer your children from all. Listen, not to buffer them from all that is going on around them. Some of it, maybe quite a lot of it, yes, but not all of it. According to Dr. James Dobson, one of the problems that many children face today is that their parents, maybe even you as a parent, you see, some parents had a history of being bailed out of every problem they ever faced. And so what happens is that so many of today's parents are trained by example to buffer their children from all problems. You need to remember one of the principles we talked about much earlier. Do you remember? Here it is again. As God is to you as a parent, as your heavenly Father, so you ought to be as a parent to your children. Now, how so? Well, let me give you some examples. For example, God disciplines you, doesn't he? Well, you bet he does. So you should appropriately discipline your children. God allows you to make choices, right? Sure he does. Well, listen, you need to responsibly do the same thing for your children. You know, give your children, your grandchildren, appropriately allow your children and grandchildren to experience choices that can either lead to success or maybe even something less. Well, next, listen. Your children need to learn how to manage money properly. You bet they do. Christian bookstores, there's all kinds of help out there for you. Christian bookstores are just full of great books and resources that can help you teach your children about how to learn to use money. I got to believe that some of the best are by Dave Ramsey and Crown Financial Ministries, which grew up, by the way, from the Lord's work through Larry Burkett. Then you can pray your children will have joyful marriages. And not only pray, but listen, while they're in the home, you need to begin to teach them by modeling for them exactly what a joyful marriage actually looks like. It's been said that the best lesson a man can teach his son is to love his wife. And again, when it comes to finances, my guess is that you would have loved to have heard what God is saying to you now, back when you were a whole lot younger. Is that not right? My guess is that you have younger ones around you right now who need to start hearing all of this before they get older. Okay, all right. Now, so much for some general parental advice. Now, what I want to do is to take a look at some very, very specific things that you can think about doing to help your children and grandchildren start to learn and apply Bible-based financial principles, okay? We're going to first look at the early years. What can you do to infect your children with biblical financial principles and applications when they're anywhere from 2 to 13 years old? And yes, you heard me right. History shows that you can start raising money-wise children God's way as early as 2 years old. And then we're going to take a look at some specific ways you can work with children 14 to 18 and then beyond. We're going to cover both during our next radio seminar time together. So don't miss it. It's going to be a great time with the Lord. My friends, I'm sure you already know that we in Towns County have a long history of supporting our sheriff's department. We really do. I mean, those men and women serve us, and the good news is we have a chance to support an upcoming event that is designed to help serve them. Now, what we have with us today, we have a couple of guys, Steve Harper and Wayne Ferrizzo. They're here to tell us all about this upcoming event. So, welcome Steve, welcome Wayne. Great to have you with us today. Tell us, what's the name of this upcoming event and how did it all come about?
Well, it's called the Summer Heat Music Festival. It actually started last October. And last October, the sheriff had spoke at the Mountain Mover.
Movers and Shakers.
And he had spoke about two things. One was shop with a deputy for the kids for Christmas. And then he also talked about technology, how outdated it is in the patrol cars. That evening, I came home, and I was just praying on it. And a lot of times when I got things on my heart, I will bring it to the Lord and see what God lays on my heart. But I kept going back to the technology in the vehicles. And it wasn't until sometime in December that this one afternoon it was that God just laid on my heart we're going to have a music festival to raise money.
Awesome.
And it was at the following thing where I spoke with Steve, because he has a band. Steve said, this is a great idea. Let's get it going. So he jumped on board, and by January, it started with meetings. Yeah. And before we knew it, we had 12 people on the committee pushing forward with this.
And you know, Bob, your initial question, which was, you know, how did the name come about? But it's called Summer Heat because of the date. It's in August. It's on August 6th. It's a Saturday all day long. And it's called Heat because, well, yes, it's hot in August. But also, let's think about who it's benefiting. It's benefiting the Towns County Sheriff's Office, the police, the cops, the fuzz, the heat. So it's yep. called Summer Heat is kind of a little play on words.
Now, where is this event gonna be?
The event is gonna be right here in Hiawassee at the Anderson Music Hall at the famous Georgia Mountain Fairgrounds. As I said, it's an all day affair. The gates are gonna open at 10 a.m. My band is the first band to go on, the first of six bands that'll be playing. We're called Gas. We go on at 11 a.m. and it's just hour after hour after hour of great live local music after that.
Well, that's awesome. Who else is going to be there, Steve?
Well, in addition to us, we've got a band called Struck by Lightning. We've got another band called Blind Rage. We've got Roy Elvis Perrin. We've got True Youngblood, and we've got Gnarly Fingers. They'll be capping off the evening for us.
So this is a fundraiser, and again, did I hear you right? You're going to be using the funds to raise enough extra money to go toward buying some equipment for the sheriff's department. Expand on that. What kind of equipment again?
Yeah, that's right. So as Wayne mentioned, the sheriff said, you know, listen, we don't even have dashboard cams in our patrol cars, that's nor do we have laptops. So think about this, right? So a sheriff, one of his deputies, one of his patrolmen or women are out there. Let's say they're on Unicoid Turnpike, because, you know, our county goes all the way down to the trailhead right there on the right. top of the mountain in Unicoid. Right. So let's say an incident occurs there. He has to take his notes. He then has to leave that area, drive all the way to the sheriff's office to hop onto one of the computers there and fill out his report. Meanwhile, there's no patrol in his zone. So Wayne's brainchild was to fix all that. We're going to raise enough funds to purchase laptops for each car so that when an incident happens, and we don't like it when they happen, but when they do, the deputy can fill out the report right then and there at the accident scene, at the incident scene. It's fresh in his mind and her mind, and now they don't have to leave the zone. They're still there to tackle the next problem that occurs, God forbid.
Oh, man.
And also, now let's think about the dashboard cams. Just about a month and a half, maybe 2 months ago, the sheriffs were involved in a car chase. This person had come up from Atlanta. They had drugs in the car, and they were chasing them down Unicoid Turnpike. And this suspect threw something out the window. Now, wouldn't it have been wonderful to have had videotape evidence? Well, I guess they don't use videotapes anymore. But video of this suspect throwing the contraband out the window. But as they say, pictures say thousands of words.
Oh, man, that I cannot believe our folks don't have that equipment. But, well, praise the Lord that you guys are working to solve that. That's now, wait a minute. I remember one of you guys said something about a drone. You were going to also try and get a drone for the sheriff's department?
So Wayne and I were talking, and Wayne said, listen, you know, I really think that we might be able to exceed our target. And so we sat down with Sheriff Henderson and with Chief Moss, and we said, listen, what happens? What else do you need? If we're able to outfit all the patrol cars and there are still funds left over, what else do you need? And Sheriff Henderson looked at it and said, a drone. I own a drone. It's not expensive. It's very cheap. It was a couple of $100. It can't do a whole lot. It can take really pretty pictures. That is not the drone we're talking about. The drone that we're talking about has infrared cameras. It can fly up thousands of feet. It has a light bright enough to shine up to light up a football field. It can find people who are lost on the trail. You have to have it registered with the FAA. You have to have a pilot certificate. So wow. We're talking, this isn't your hobbyist backyard drone. This is the real deal. This is a life-saving piece of equipment here. And oh, and awesome. As a result of the publicity that we've been starting to generate, and Wayne and I speak at every Movers and Shakers, and we speak every opportunity we can get, and someone who joined our cause decided to say, you know what? Let's fix that drone problem right now. Why should we wait for August to save someone's life? Gets the drone right now, and this person, out of the goodness of his heart, donated the funds necessary for the sheriff to purchase the drone. The drone has been purchased. Right now, we're getting it registered. We're going to get everyone trained who's going to operate it, and that is a direct result of the efforts of this man to my right, Wayne Fiorito, and humbly myself, and our entire board.
Oh, that is awesome. That is awesome news. That's good. Well, so you're going to be raising money. But I haven't heard you tell me how much it's going to cost for folks to get in.
Excellent question. If you're 12 or under, not one penny. If you're 13 or older, $20. It's cash at the gate. $20 gets you in, but $20 covers you all day long. Now, it is called the Music Festival, and that's true. And in my heart, I am a musician, and so is Wayne. He won't tell you that, but he is. And for me, that's the big highlight of the day. But that's not the only highlight of the day. We've got all sorts of great things going on for the kids. There's going to be 2 bounce houses, face painting, pony rides, balloon animals, 12 food trucks, 10 artisan vendors, craftsmen coming. The Craft Village at the Georgia Mountain Fairgrounds, we'll have some people in there. You can walk around. If you want to take a break from some of the music, you can walk around, do some shopping, have some great food. We're having a dunk tank. Not only are we having a dunk tank, Bob, but in that dunk tank, the first victim at starting at 10 a.m., so get there early, will be the one and only Soul Commissioner Cliff Bradshaw.
But what we're going to be doing, the very first ball that's going to be thrown, we're going to auction off.
Yes.
The highest bidder. And I'm hoping to raise a sum of money just on that one ball.
Yeah, we very well might achieve our quota on that one ball alone. but you know, Commissioner Bradshaw has been working with us hand in hand, yes. And we really appreciate his support, and we appreciate his literally jumping into the thick of things.
Oh, that's awesome. Well, listen, it sounds like it's going to be a great day. It's going to be for a great cause. Anything else that now? What about if somebody wants to make a donation but they can't come on Saturday? What you got any words for those folks?
Yeah, absolutely. At every Movers and Shakers meeting, which will be every Friday morning from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. at Sundance Restaurant in Hiawassee, there will be representatives there selling tickets and accepting donations and selling tickets, because we also haven't discussed our raffle. We have a huge raffle and a live auction, and if you want to purchase raffle tickets, you can purchase those in advance too. And we do accept donations there as well. In addition to that, the 31st of July will be at Sandbar from 2 to 5 p.m.
Also, too, Bob, if anybody wants to make a donation, they can stop at the sheriff's office.
Yes.
And make a donation there, or they could actually go to the commissioner's office.
Correct.
And make a donation there. But just remember now, it's got to be Towns County, and in the memo, it's got to be for the sheriff's technology program.
Wow, my friends, this sounds like a fantastic event to support a really great cause. So remember, August 6th at the Georgia Mountain Fairgrounds, bring the whole family, have a great time, and let's show Sheriff Henderson and our entire Sheriff's Department how much we appreciate them. Hey, Steve, Wayne, thanks for coming in. I'm looking forward to seeing you there. And that just about wraps up our time together today. But before we go, I have a couple of reminders for you. First of all, if you live in Hiawassee, Young Harris, or Hayesville, and you have a couple of hours each week to volunteer from home and would like to learn a bit about becoming our ministry administrative assistant, please give me a call at 678-386-2640. That's 678-386-2640. And the second reminder, well, remember that you can always hear a rebroadcast of this or any of our radio programs by going to our website at www.christianfinancialministries.org. And that does wrap up our time together, so let's close with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for bringing us together and teaching us today and for each of the days yet to come, all to your glory, in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a blessed rest of your day, won't you? And we're going to see you next time as we continue down your personal road to financial freedom, God's way.